Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games and it's all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. My name is Braden Gall alongside Derek Mason, Marquise Munson producing. We are live here at Kitchen Notes at the Omni National Hotel in downtown Nashville, waiting on our fluffy, delicious, and amazing biscuits that Marquise is not eligible to partake in because, like James Wiseman at Memphis, he cannot play with the biscuits today. He is not allowed.
Man, you guys enjoy your biscuits, man. I'm not gonna hate. I got Doritos in the machine, so nice. I'm good to go, goodness. Man.
Healthy breakfast for our producer back there, Derek.
Good job, Munson.
I brought the Hot Pockets for old time's sake.
Okay.
So we're starting today with a little controversy. And it has nothing to do with Myles Garrett swinging a helmet at a helmetless quarterback, which is really one of the, you know, in sports, Derek, you see things every now and then where you're just like, I have never seen that before. Remember when, what was it, who was it for Tampa Bay that tackled his own player in the backfield on a motion? Remember that a couple weeks ago? Like, I've never seen that one before in sports or in football. I've never seen somebody rip a guy's helmet off, and I'm sure it happened back in the 60s, 70s, 80s, or whatever, but I've never seen a guy rip a guy's helmet off and then swing it back on top of him and land it on his head. So we'll get to that because that happened last night. We've got crazy drama in college basketball all across the state of Tennessee now. You've got Memphis and Penny Hardaway and this James Wiseman story. We'll get to that. And then Gino Auriemma going off on Phil Fulmer. Obviously, Joe Rexroad brought that up yesterday. That happened 2 days ago when Connecticut played Vanderbilt here in Nashville. And Stephanie White's team actually looks like it's going to be a pretty decent basketball team. Uh-huh. I'm not sure anybody cares about that after, unfortunately, Gino Auriemma doing what he did. So we got all this controversy. But I think the main controversy is the reason I'm talking right now.
Yes.
So Nick Cale spends all day yesterday asking for our advice because we are his trusted friends and confidants and advisors. And I think we gave him pretty sound advice.
Yeah.
He asked, I'm on a hot streak. I'm winning. I'm gambling well right now. Should I bet on the Cleveland Browns?
Yeah.
Now, it turns out he should have. But
I think he did. I think he went on and he bet on them.
So we said, no, dude, like the whole point of gambling, the reason you lose, people lose in gambling, is they don't know when to stop.
Exactly.
And so we said to Nick, Derek and I, he asked, and we said, Nick, don't do it. Don't
walk
press
away
sand.
With your winnings. Walk
you got
away.
The winnings. Just ride it out for a couple days. Just because there happens to be a game on tonight doesn't mean you have to gamble on it.
Exactly.
Well, he did.
Well, but to his credit,
he won.
He won. He won. Yes.
Now, as my sources have indicated, 9:43 p.m. Central Standard, I guess it's Central,
Central
Standard Time, last night, because Standard Time sucks. Daylight Savings Time, what up? So, he posted a video on Twitter last night, 9:43 p.m., ripping on Freddie Kitchens' play calling, because I believe he was concerned about losing some money.
Yeah, he never was truly confident that Freddie Kitchens was going to pull that game out. He wasn't truly confident, even with like 5 minutes left.
Which is totally fair.
Absolutely.
I don't have any faith in Freddie Kitchens getting his pants on correctly every morning. So I understand his sentiment. Now, the difference is I don't have any money on the line, so I'm not going on social media ripping a guy for play calling because I don't have any money on the line.
It doesn't matter to me.
Yep, doesn't matter to me. And then we get a text message at about – so he wins. Mm-hmm. Then we get a text message at approximately what time, boys?
I didn't see the text message until
2:56 a.m.
I didn't see it until 5 o'clock this morning.
2:56 a.m. Guys, I'm sick. I won't be in this morning. Apologies. So we know what he does when he watches football games that he's gambling on, right? Does he have the Tito's flu right now? Is what I'm trying to ask.
I'm trying to figure out what happened between
9:43
exactly.
Yep. Sources.
And 2:56 exactly. So we're talking roughly, what, 4 hours? Is that 4 hours? 9, 10, 11.
No. Yeah.
4 hours.
Yeah, 4.5.
Yeah, 4.5. So what happened in that 4.5 hour span?
Where he's perfectly healthy, sitting on a couch, ripping a coach, which is basically his natural state, right?
Yeah, he's in his natural habitat.
Is Nick Cale's natural state. And to be ripping on Freddie Kitchens' play calling, Alabama man, Alabama man, is You know, that's sort of like his sweet spot in life.
Exactly.
That's where he likes to be. And then, of course, he's not with us today. So, I would never, ever, ever call one of my friends and coworkers and teammates a liar. I would never do that. But I am questioning the validity of the sickness this morning.
I mean, he could be, he legitimately could be sick, but how did he become sick?
If he's got the Tito's flu,
how did he become
that is
sick?
Not an excuse
That's,
to not show up for work.
That is the question. How did he, the weather has changed drastically. I understand that. So
it's gone from cold to colder, back to cold.
And it's been a kind of warm. And then, so,
9:43, dude. The weather cannot play a role if you're fine at 9:43 p.m.
What if he mistakenly, this is just hypothetically speaking.
Of course.
What if he, jumped in the shower, and then as he was getting out the shower, he heard a loud noise outside. So before he could put on his slippers dry off.
What are you, producing a Netflix documentary? Like, what are you
He ran outside. He ran outside and was like, oh, snaps. Like, what's going on? And he didn't realize he was still wet, without any house shoes, with just a T-shirt and his baggy shorts on.
And he had the two-tone Alabama beanie, but he forgot to flip it to the Alabama side of it, so he kept it on the black side, and that's the reason
why. And he could be sick because he ran outside to see what that noise, all the commotion was.
And the two of you believe this theory.
That's just a hypothetical. That's just an hypothetical. We always have.
Yeah, hypothetically, I'm going to win the lottery today too. It's not.
We always have to have the. There's a such thing as we all know now as alternative facts. Okay, they are alternative facts. We can do that.
Alternative
okay?
realities.
Exactly, we can do that. So I'm just saying.
Okay.
The alternative facts here could be.
No, I think the facts are, dude got some money in his pocket and he drank some too much Tito's and didn't come into work today. That's what I think happened. I'm sorry, dude.
I'm trying to give this otherworldly kind of excuse.
What other world? What other workplace? I mean, I obviously Baker Mayfield has to stand up and hold his teammate accountable today, right? Myles Garrett doing something I've never seen before last night, and so we'll get to that. But in what other world and what other office place do you get to publicly shame your teammates for not showing up for work?
Maybe in a locker room, that's it.
But even then, you'd rarely publicly shame him.
Yeah, you can't shame him.
We're just gonna shame.
You can shame him throughout the locker room and in a meeting.
Right. But privately.
Can't shame him.
No, we get to do it publicly on the show.
Because
if you're not here, you're fair game.
Yeah, I'm just saying Nick ran out the house with wet socks on, and then
Why would his socks be wet?
He had the cold man flu.
Why would his socks be? How did he get his socks? Was he wearing socks in the shower now? Your theory's getting worse. Marquise.
You had me at the slippers.
While his feet were still wet because they didn't get to dry them off.
So you mean to tell me you hear a commotion outside, you go in your drawer to get a pair of socks just to put your slippers on, and then you go figure out what happened?
His socks was right there
on the bathroom sink.
Derek, if I ever get in trouble with the law, I'm going to have you as my lawyer, all right? You're going to come up with 36 different reasons why I didn't do what
I'm
going to
work.
Everybody knows that I did.
Hey, listen, you throw enough at the wall, something will stick. You know that's what you know that's the way
things
operate.
If the Tito's got you sick, you must have quit. That's all I'm saying. The Tito's flu for Nick Gale this morning, boys. I just think it's convenient on an off weekend for the Titans and an off weekend for the Vols. Off weekend for the two big football teams. Today is kind of a loose show. We're going to have a little fun, talk about controversial things. Have a little fun today. A little Tito's flu. No Titans game. No Vols game. Mm-hmm. Listen, I would just present the facts to the audience and let the audience decide. That's all.
You've given them what
maybe, unvarnished truth.
Yeah, what maybe 99.9% of our listeners will believe. And I'm giving them the other 0.01% that maybe, just maybe, some people will believe.
I'd get back into the laboratory and keep working on that. All right, so Derek is here with me. Marquise is here. We're at the Omni National Hotel at Kitchen Notes. Going to eat some good food here coming up in just a few minutes. However, there was an incident last night in – in Thursday Night Football to get Week 11 started, right? Week 11, right, in the NFL, to get that started where Cleveland gets a huge win, keeps themselves in the playoff race, and shakes up the AFC divisional standings there in the AFC North in a really critical spot. But none of that's going to matter because one guy absolutely went completely bonkers last night.
Yeah.
And we will have to get to that, and we'll explain what happened when we come back. This is Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
I didn't see why it started, but it's inexcusable. You know, I don't care, rivalry or not, we can't do that. That's kind of the history of, you know, what's been going on here lately, hurting yourself, and that's just endangering the other team. That's inexcusable. He knows that. I hope he does now. It's just, it's tough. We'll see.
Browns quarterback Baker Mayfield there talking about the actions of his defensive end, Myles Garrett, last night as, of course, the Cleveland Browns defeat the Pittsburgh Steelers. I believe it was 21-7 yesterday, and not even sure, you know, if that matters anymore. It's a really good, important win for Freddie Kitchens and the Cleveland Browns, but it's just going to get lost in the shuffle here. Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game, Derek Mason, Braden Gall. And listen, Myles Garrett sacks Mason Rudolph on the final play of the game, and Mason doesn't like the tenor of the whole situation, and is kind of pulling and jiving and grabbing with Myles Garrett, and Myles Garrett gets up and then proceeds to pull Mason Rudolph up off the ground by his face mask, which alone is a pretty dangerous act by itself, right? Because you're laying on the ground, and a massive human being is yanking you up off the ground by the face mask. Then he gets him up and then rips off the helmet, then takes the helmet, and something I've never seen. Maybe you saw it, you know, back when you first started playing football, maybe on a high school field somewhere people have seen this. But never at this level in the NFL have I seen a man rip a helmet off another guy and then swing it over the top and hit him in the head with it. And he hits Mason Rudolph in the head, which, of course, then, you know, Marquise Pouncey and some of the other guys for the Steelers come to Mason Rudolph's defense and completely knock Garrett down to the ground. And then I think there was a kick to Garrett's head.
Yeah, Pouncey punched him twice while another guy was on top of him and then kicked him. Kicked the top of his head twice. I don't think he connected flush because there was somebody.
There was
else.
Other people standing
yeah,
around.
But he kicked him twice. This is just unfortunate. It really is. You know, because it was a good game, and you know it had to end in that manner, which is never good. Anytime you know you have a fight, you know, on the field, it's never a good thing. You know, maybe, you know, Rudolph took exception to Myles Garrett, you know, kind of, you know,
making a play in a meaningless situation, maybe.
And I think,
again, what, 8 seconds to go in the game.
I think what
Myles, game
what
totally
he was upset about was Myles Garrett didn't know he released the ball and he still took him down to the ground. And as he's taking him down to the ground, Mason Rudolph grabs the back of his helmet and he grabs his face mask and he pulls it. That's why Myles Garrett pulled his, which is still no excuse.
There's no reason
for
what Myles Garrett did.
You still don't pull at another guy's helmet. It's always the second guy that gets caught, because even if he doesn't swing the helmet, he still is the one that's getting penalty. He still is the one that's getting the penalty. He still is the one that's getting fined, because it's the second guy that always get caught.
And he pulled him up off the ground face mask.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
And Mason Rudolph's like a rag doll in this situation, because Myles Garrett is this huge guy.
Yeah, but listen, my thing is there's an action, then a reaction. Sometimes the reaction is not you shouldn't react based upon, it's not worth, the reaction is not worth it sometimes based upon the action. Mason Rudolph was upset that he got taken to the ground. He grabbed the back of Myles Garrett's helmet, and he was pulling at Myles Garrett's helmet from the face mask and the back of his helmet. That should have been the end of it. Myles Garrett, even if you kind of sort of give
him
the
business. You're up 21-7 with 8 seconds to go.
Even if you give him the business, like at the bottom of the pile.
Yeah, you kind of shove on him a little bit.
You know, and maybe you get a penalty, and it'll be it. But Myles Garrett figured, okay, he pulling at my helmet, I'm going to pull at his helmet. So he pulls his helmet off. Mistake number one. And then in the midst of it all, the problem with it all is
the most dangerous thing.
It never helps when two guys from opposite teams are going at it, and then the third guy comes in from one of the teams. All of a sudden, now it escalates. Myles Garrett should have never, and I mean never, swung that helmet. Whether he say I didn't mean to do it or not, once you go in that motion, you have the potential to hurt someone, whether it connects or not. And he hit. Luckily, it was the padded part.
Can you imagine?
Of his helmet that he hit, you know, Mason Rudolph on the top of the head.
Just think about how strong Myles Garrett is, swinging the crown of a helmet onto the top of your skull.
Yeah,
and think about how hard that would be.
If it connects, then he's gone for the season. If he connects and he falls to the ground,
I think he might be gone for the season anyway.
He's gone for the season. I don't think they're going to suspend him for the season. I think they're suspended for like two or three games.
But four games is almost the whole season.
Yeah, I think they're suspended for two or three games and fine him, and he'll be back.
Listen, and here's the other thing. Go back to the Titans game with the Browns. Mm-hmm. And you remember Delanie Walker got under his skin. Mm-hmm. And Myles Garrett punched Delanie Walker with a helmet on, which, again, is I don't understand it. Yeah. So, Delanie, like, we have seen people get under Myles Garrett's skin, and it has worked, and this is the most penalized team in the NFL. Mm-hmm. It's the least disciplined team in the NFL, and the Titans use that to their advantage to get a win over Cleveland. Exactly. We have seen this from Myles Garrett before. Not this level.
But we've seen it. Get under his skin and him react in not a positive way. And then to add insult to injury, you know, and I understand the whole offensive lineman, you know, protecting your quarterback. But Pouncey, he's going to be suspended just as many games as Myles Garrett because what he did was even worse. You punch at a guy that's already grabbed. Somebody already has him, and you're punching him in the face, and then he's on the ground, and you kick him twice. Now you're in a street fight. Yeah, basically, it's a street fight.
It devolves.
So what Myles Garrett did was completely wrong. But then you added on to what you did. You know, one of your players already has Myles Garrett. Already has him locked up on the ground.
David DeCastro.
Yeah, already has him. I guess he's trying to defuse it, like, dude, chill. And then you come around, you punch him twice, and then, dummy, because you got a helmet on, so you punch, and then you kick him. Like, you don't.
Yeah. They're all getting.
Yeah, that's what
I'm saying.
You add insult to injury. Yeah. But what Myles Garrett did was completely wrong. But then you make it even worse by, you know, kicking him. Luckily, it stopped there because that thing could have gotten huge.
So Mason Rudolph gets hit in the head by a swinging helmet from Myles Garrett and then immediately throws his arms up like, hey, what the hell, guys? hello.
You don't think they saw that?
But the good news in that moment as I'm watching it, honestly, is that he had his wits about him and was not hurt enough. Uh-huh. Thank God that he was able to, like, immediately have a reaction, right?
And
like,
I don't think that's why – I think that's why Myles Garrett is only going to get maybe two games.
Which again, is complete garbage because it shouldn't be about the gravity of the injury. He got lucky that he didn't get hurt.
Yeah.
I would like to see I think they'll throw the book at him, 4-6. The PA will appeal it and maybe bring the suspension down to, like, mm-hmm. what you're saying, maybe three games. I would assume that Marquise Pouncey is done for at least a game, as well as DeCastro, maybe two games for Pouncey. There's two things I've never seen in the NFL before that I've seen this year. I've never seen a guy go in motion and tackle his running back on a play on offense. I've never seen that. And I've never seen a guy full, you know, windmill a helmet into a guy's, you know, open head. And I've just never seen that. I'm sure it happened in the 70s, and, you know, I don't know. Maybe it happened back in the day, but I've never seen that before. Let's take a couple calls on this here. Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game, talking about, again, the end of the Cleveland Browns game last night when Myles Garrett rips off Mason Rudolph's helmet and swings it back into Mason Rudolph's head. Then a brawl proceeds, and people get suspended, and I'm assuming ejected, and I'm assuming some suspensions as well. Gray wants to chime in here on Morning Drive. Gray, what's up, man?
Hey, what's up, fellas? Hey, just to play devil's advocate right here really quickly. I'm the last one to ever play this card, but watching it live last night, I'm sitting there with a couple of friends, Browns fans, and we immediately ask ourselves, I mean, we're playing the whole situation out here, what was said. I mean, you guys are going through what we saw, but, of course, we have no audio. And I'm just asking the question, in this hypersensitive era that we live in, particularly when it comes to certain words, is there anything that Rudolph could have said that would, there is no explanation and there is no absolution right. for that act because it was vicious. I mean, when I saw it, I'm like, you guys, my mouth actually fell open because I have never seen anything like this. And that's why I'm asking that question, because Garrett went so hard. He went ham, as they say. And I'm thinking, what caused him to go ham to that extent? Something must have been said. And I'm just wondering, could anything, is there anything that Rudolph said that have to be taken into
Gray, we appreciate the call. And obviously, we don't need to dance around the word. I mean, the word that he's, I'm assuming that Gray is referring to, Derek, is a word that we all know. Would set a guy off.
If it was said, it'd come out.
Exactly.
Yeah, if it was said, it'd come out. And then obviously.
And it's, I hate to say this. I mean, it's easy for me to say it as the white guy here, but, like, it's still not an excuse to rip a guy's helmet off and swing it, even if it is completely inappropriate, right? Like, even
if the ripping the helmet off is no excuse. But in that moment, and we don't know, again, we don't know what he said. And
like, I don't care what he said.
If it was said, it'll come out.
Yeah, yeah.
But.
And I'll lose respect for Mason
exactly.
Rudolph but if that happens. But
if something derogatory was said, I can't tell a person what he shouldn't have done in that situation. If it's just you and I standing there and you say something that – if we're on the streets, you say something that I don't like, and there's no tension built up, and you say something I don't like that's derogatory, I could then just walk away. Like, there's no tension built up. You just said it because you were upset, and I'm like, dude, seriously?
But we're not on national TV, though.
Exactly. But if we're in a already heated moment,
yeah,
and someone says something, well, we're already going at it, and someone said it happens in playgrounds all around the country.
Well,
you got two people pushing at one another, and the tension's already high.
Sure.
The minute someone says something, call you a B or whatever, now it's all a fair game. Now,
yeah, it's kind of like Marcus Smart situation with Oklahoma State, where he pushed a fan, and you know he said that fan said something that he was not supposed to say, so that's the reason Marcus Smart reacted that way. Now maybe
he shouldn't
have.
And that's completely inappropriate behavior.
Yeah,
exactly. But
like he's not I'm sorry, there are different rules for fans who are drunken dumb idiots. I acknowledge that, and probably some of them using derogatory language that's completely inappropriate. But you are the player, and unfortunately, you are held to a different standard.
See, I don't agree with that.
Now,
I
actually think it's the other. Like, it's funny that
because the guy came on the court with the Marcus Smart thing.
No, he sat in his seat. Marcus fell into him and into the crowd. But let me get back to the Rudolph thing, because I think it's actually the opposite for me with the scenario you lay out. I think if two
I don't know what he said.
Right, and again, we don't have any idea if he said anything at all. I think it's interesting that if two people are walking down the street and they're arguing and yelling and fighting at each other and they get into a fight over a derogatory term and somebody swings at somebody else, nobody cares. Nobody cares. Like we're at Kitchen Notes and we're staring at the Korean Veterans Boulevard. If two guys walking down here after a few drinks at, you know, Broadway or whatever, run into each other and they see each other and one of them says a derogatory word that is racially insensitive towards somebody and that person gets all pissed off and starts swinging on this guy, it happens and it disappears in the night and nobody knows that it happened because it's not on national TV and they're not NFL football players. That's the difference. Like I know it sounds unfair, but two dudes that nobody cares about walking down the street fighting is not the same thing as when you are on national television as a seven-figure NFL superstar and somebody calls you a name. You have to put it aside.
No, you can't.
Like
There's no excuse
for what he did. It doesn't matter.
The helmet thing, yes. But if something comes up, which I hope it does, I pray that it does, and I don't think it will.
And this is pure conjecture on our part,
and I don't think it will. But if in the midst of them two going at it, and something was said by Mason Rudolph that was derogatory toward, and we know what it is,
right.
Toward
exactly.
Myles Garrett, all bets are off for me. All bets are off. Because now what you've done is you crossed the line. Crossed the line. I don't care how much money. I just take the fine. I just got to take the fine.
What if it's a four-game suspension?
I just got to take the fine.
What if he cracks his skull and he's in the hospital?
There's an action and there's a reaction. The minute you call me a word that you shouldn't be using, all bets are off. It's because I'm already in a tense moment now.
Sure.
I can't just say, oh, stop. I can't pull a Herm. Stop, think about it.
Right.
And then don't say
no,
it.
No, I get it.
And it's in the heat of the moment, and it's like, dude, why did you even go? Why did you go there?
Right. And listen, and I'll acknowledge this.
And but I don't think. But people, Rudolph, I would be disappointed.
100%.
And I would be surprised if Mason Rudolph even said that.
Like if that were to be, I would have a really harsh judgment on his character. I would no longer root for him. I don't want to see him. You know, whatever. Like, I'd have a really, it would change my opinion of Mason Rudolph, the person, the player, whatever. Mm-hmm. And again, I want to make sure it's very clear. As the white guy sitting here, it's very easy for me to say, hey, don't react. Like, I get that. I've never felt what that means. I don't know what that word does to me because it's not a part of, like, I know how I feel when I hear it, and it's disgusting, but it's not the same. It doesn't mean the same thing to me. So I understand that I'm sort of coming at it from an ignorant point of view, but I just look at, there are certain life situations where you have to sort of turn the other cheek, even if it's the worst possible. Like, Jackie Robinson had to do it his entire career, right? Like, I know that it sucks, but, like, we're just guessing here on what Mason Rudolph could have possibly said.
Hopefully he didn't say that. I would tend to believe he didn't say that. I just tend to believe that
Garrett just overreacted,
and
that's why I brought up
the underneath his skin.
That's why I brought up the Delanie Walker situation, because he punched Delanie Walker in game one. We've seen him lose his cool this before. So, listen, on all of that really lighthearted notes, we'll take a break and we'll talk about the balls. How about that? we'll talk about Jarrett Garantano and. Oh, man, what a scene last night with the Steelers and the Browns. That's all I got to say about that. So we'll continue to discuss that. We'll take your calls a little bit later on as well. Teron Davenport in hour number two. But Wes Rucker, Go Vols 24/7 Sports. When we come back, talk a little Tennessee football right here on Morning Drive. Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Nick Cale out today with the Tito's flu. His name is Derek Mason. My name is Braden Gall. Thank you guys for hanging out with us here at Kitchen Notes, live at the Omni Nashville Hotel downtown. And Wes Rucker joining us here from Go Vols 24/7 Sports. Our normal guest in this particular time slot is in the hospital with a newborn child, his second baby.
Congrats.
So, Josh, we wish him the best. Wes, how are you, sir? What's going on, buddy?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
So, Wes, I want to ask you just in general about the quarterback position, because I'm sure you've not written about it or been asked about it or asked anybody about it at all. It's probably a new topic for you. I'd actually like you to handicap next year. The quarterback. Who is the starting quarterback in game one for the Tennessee Volunteers next year?
I'm trying to handicap it right now. I mean, I'd like to know what happens the next 2 weeks. But, I keep thinking maybe Brian Maurer. You know, I think there's also a chance that it's Garantano. It's going to be one of those two guys probably. I think that there's benefits to both guys. I would have told you a couple weeks ago that I thought maybe Garantano would still transfer after the season, but I'm not so sure now. So I think it's one of those two guys, maybe slightly better chance that it's Maurer, but I don't know how confident I feel saying that, but if that's my guess right now, that's probably still my guess.
Even with that, because you look at what – because – I've said for many weeks now, had Garantano not had that play against Alabama. Now, I know there has been other instances where he has changed plays, and I think that was just the straw that broke the camel's back. But had he not did what he did against Alabama, and maybe if they still lose, I believe Garantano still is the quarterback, because to me, he still gives you the best opportunity to win a ball game. Now, if everything's all even, is that the sentiment there in Knoxville that regardless of what happened versus Alabama, and I know that was a big game for UT, he still is the guy that gives you a best opportunity to win? Because if you look at his numbers, the numbers are not great, but they're not bad either.
Yeah, I think that there's probably some truth to that. You know, I think that the way Maurer can run, I think that neutralizes things a little bit, because he's such a more dynamic runner than Garantano is, and I think that's something that, until Tennessee gets some bigger backs and really gets to where it can kind of push people off the block and really do some stuff on the ground, until Tennessee gets to a part where it can do that, I think Maurer gives you an advantage in that way. I think that if Garantano would just go out there and do consistently what he's capable of doing, he'd be this team's best quarterback. Now, the question is, why hasn't he been able to do that? And, you know, you could say he was learning that new offense at the beginning of the year. You know, there's a lot of different things that you could say, but I think there's some truth to what you're saying there, that if he would go out there and they felt consistently good about him doing what he was supposed to do, this wouldn't be a competition. But it keeps being a competition because he keeps doing that. So it's kind of the chicken or the egg right there. I'm not really sure which way it'll go. But, you know, I feel like if they felt like they could trust him consistently, there'd be no question he'd be their guy.
What is Tennessee's record after the Missouri and Vanderbilt games?
I'm starting to think probably 7-5 now. I think Mizzou's a lot different at home than it is on the road. I think that team's unbeaten at home and hadn't won a game on the road. And we'll see what's going on with Kelly Bryant. You know, I think that's something that could be kind of a big deal. But between that and the Kel Garrett injury, that team's just not the same when those two guys aren't out there. So 6-6 wouldn't surprise me. But if you look at the way both teams are playing now, and then you think the Mizzou's got another tough one coming up this weekend, that's going to be kind of a banged-up football team, maybe going in the wrong direction next week. So I think there's a better chance than I would have anticipated that Tennessee could win that game.
Now, if they do, like you said, finish the season off 7-5, which I think is a highly, highly possible, because I think – as much as I like Derek Mason here, I think it's that team is done as far as, you know, potentially winning games. I think UT will take a stranglehold of that game and continue to play well. They win the next two games. What does the offseason and recruiting look like for Jeremy Pruitt?
I think it looks better because, you know, and don't get me wrong, 7-5 at Tennessee is never anything they're going to go build a statue for or have a parade for. You know, that's not where Tennessee wants to be. But if they turn that 1-4 start into a 7-5 finish, if they do that, that buys them a lot more goodwill in this town. That buys them a lot more goodwill, you know, on the recruiting trail. That looks a lot different. You know, the best way to make 7-5 look really good is to start 1-4. You know, that if you had offered people that situation back then, they'd have been the happiest people in the world. So, yeah, I think that does help them a little bit. I think really what could be huge, and it's not talked about enough, is this young team getting 15 more practices. That going into a bowl game would be huge, because that really kind of hurt the development maybe last offseason. And they had to do some stuff in spring camp they could have been doing. You know, back in bowl prep. So if they can get to 6 at least, and they can get that bowl practice, that to me could be as important as anything, you know, because you can rest up for a couple of weeks, you can get guys healthy, and then you can go back out there and get some of the practice that you need to get done. You can get that done, and I think that helps a lot going into next year.
Wes Rucker joining us here, Go Vols 24/7. And Wes, number one, what has been the reaction to Kelly Harper's big win over Notre Dame, first year Lady Vols head basketball coach, and of course Gino Auriemma's comments directed directly what it feels like at Philip Fulmer after their win against Vanderbilt here in Nashville, clearly not happy with the way Tennessee handled all of this. What has the reaction been to those two stories?
I mean, I think because number one's been so good, I think that made number two, even more passionate for the people here. You know, Gino, certainly there's no love lost for that man in this town. And even if he said a lot of things in that case that I think are probably true, and I've always been kind of an advocate for student athletes getting to transfer, and I'd like the NCAA to put in a policy where you get one free transfer going into your career. So that at that point, then you can do waivers after the first one. So that's where I think it should be, and I think it's unfortunate that it's not. You know, but you know, Auriemma can go out and say anything, and it's not going to go down well in this town. So that part doesn't surprise me. To your first question, though, I think that surprised a lot of people. I know I'm one of them. I didn't think they'd go up there to South Bend, a place where Muffet and that program doesn't lose very often, and going and beating them, that's huge. That's a really, really good way for Kelly Harper to start building some goodwill. Because there are some people, again, myself included, who wondered why Tennessee didn't go bigger and more established with that hire. Well, yep. I mean, maybe it'll be okay.
Well, they certainly looked like a more well-coached team in one or two or three games now, Wes, so it'll be interesting to see. Wes Rucker, man, always a pleasure. Enjoy your bye week, man, and we do appreciate it.
No problem. Anytime, guys. I know that.
Absolutely. Wes Rucker, Go Vols 24/7. Didn't even get a chance to ask about the Rick Barnes coach basketball team.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask. Yeah.
Up there.
There's a lot going on in Knoxville right now.
Dude, there's a lot going on in college basketball.
Yeah.
Because Penny Hardaway is under the microscope right now with what's going on at Memphis. We'll get into that a little bit when we come back. But it was Gino Auriemma out of line when he went off, essentially, on Philip Fulmer in the University of Tennessee following a win against Vanderbilt. Was he out of line? We'll get into that right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. You're listening to Morning Drive, live from Wholesale Inc. Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. That's where Marquise is, anyway. Derek and I are at Kitchen Notes here at the Omni Nashville Hotel, ready to consume some delicious, buttery, soft biscuits here, Marquise. Don't worry about it. We'll save you somebody, buddy, back there at the studio. Nick Cale not with us today.
They do have
today.
Some good pancakes, so if you can bring some of those pancakes back, let me know. It's like a three stack, and they're fluffy. If you can bring some of those
back,
think
they don't really make it past Derek Mason too often. Like Derek will just see the pancakes and just eat them before they get to
I love pancakes.
To you, Marquise.
Pancakes, yeah.
All right, so real quickly here, we'll get to Penny Hardaway in just a second, because, again, I think the NCAA – James Wiseman, we'll lay out the timeline for you guys real quickly and explain the story, but I think the NCAA needs to go after Penny Hardaway, not James Wiseman, the player in the situation. But Gino Auriemma, also involving a transfer, Gino Auriemma following the win against the Vanderbilt Commodores and Stephanie White's team, who looks like she's got a really good basketball team this year for Vandy. They come in and win relatively easily, but in the postgame, Gino Auriemma goes off on a player that was not given a waiver to play right away. This the old, like, somebody's transferring and the NCAA says no. None of us have any clue how and why the NCAA decides what it decides. That's an issue. They don't have to publicly defend their decision. They don't have to give reasons why they make their decision. They just don't tell us, and they just say, hey, you can play or you can't play. So Gino Auriemma doesn't get a player that was a Lady Vol last year, and he's upset about it. So he's in Nashville, and he goes off on the, quote, unhealthy environment that this player was in, but then says he can't explain that environment. Now, again, if there's some mental health or actual health issues with a particular player, there, I'm assuming you cannot divulge certain information publicly, so I understand that he's in a tricky situation there. But he basically is what felt like blaming Philip Fulmer in Tennessee for not helping this player get eligible enough. Now, I realize Gino Auriemma is like a third rail for Tennessee Vols fans. I get that. But this whole situation, I wonder if it's good for basketball, good for Middle Tennessee basketball, good for the sport in general, for there to be this much attention on the sport here. I don't know if you had a chance to watch Gino's commentary, but I don't think he's wrong in being upset with what the NCAA did. I just don't know why he's blaming Tennessee. I don't know why you aren't blaming the NCAA. The NCAA is the group of people here that did not grant the waiver. The University of Tennessee didn't try to block it. Mm-hmm. I don't know why it feels like you're directing your anger at the wrong people.
Yeah. And I would love to, when he said unhealthy environment for the young lady, I would love to know what that unhealthy environment is, because only then can we say, you know what, he's right.
Yeah, Joe Rexford asked that question, and he said, I'm not allowed to go into that.
Exactly. So then, unless we know that, we can't. It's like, why are you blaming Philip Fulmer then?
Publicly.
Yeah, publicly. Now, you could say behind closed doors, like, because you know exactly what it is. So you can kind of talk to your people, like, you know, Fulmer was wrong. He shouldn't have allowed this to happen. But if you come out in the public and say that, and then don't give any backstory to it, everyone's thinking, well, why is Philip Fulmer in the wrong? I mean, he didn't try to block it. The NCAA, you should be mad more at the NCAA than you are at Philip Fulmer or UT. We understand that the last couple of years, that Lady Vol team hasn't been what everybody thought it should be. And maybe there was, you know, some things going on. Maybe it was just dysfunctional or whatever.
Well, it could have been a single person she didn't get along with.
Absolutely.
It could be one relationship that wasn't good.
Absolutely.
And who knows what that
could have been. She didn't get along with the head coach, and she wanted to travel, and maybe Philip Fulmer didn't squash it quick enough. I don't know what it is, because he won't say. But you're right. His gripe shouldn't be with Philip Fulmer. His, especially if he's not going to tell us what happened, his gripe should only be with the NCAA. That's if he's mad at somebody, be mad at the NCAA.
Yeah.
Fulmer and UT didn't try to block it. They allowed the young lady to transfer. Didn't, from what I can understand, didn't say anything about it.
Yeah. Now, so his complaint is that they weren't supportive of it, which again is, I guess, the difference between being sort of indifferent.
They were not helping her.
They didn't help
the process move along.
But they didn't hurt the process either, which again, I understand sometimes when I look at college football and basketball coaches and they say, we're just washing our hands of this situation. This athlete, in this case, this young woman, has decided to leave Tennessee basketball to go play at Connecticut. She's gone from Tennessee no matter what.
Yeah.
The only thing that this hurts is the young woman. My issue is with the NCAA. And if this really was a personal situation that was toxic for this young person, why doesn't the NCAA know that? And it clearly, he feels comfortable enough with the information to say publicly, oh, that wasn't good.
Exactly.
Even though he's not allowed to tell us what it really was. To me, it's I don't think he has I don't think he's wrong necessarily, but I don't know that until I hear
what
the actual situation was. And if there's even a conversation about a young person being in an unhealthy environment, whatever that may mean, why is the NCAA saying turning down the waiver?
Yeah.
That's my issue here is, you know, maybe Tennessee could have gone further to help this young athlete transfer. Are they required to?
No,
but should they? Maybe so.
If they knew something was going on within the program with this young lady and she wanted to transfer because of that and they knew it was legitimate, then they should have helped the process.
I agree.
The young lady wants to travel. Please let her transfer and give her the right to play this season, next season, whatever it is, because she's going through some things. If that was the case, then okay. But if they didn't, if there's something going on and they were just like, you know what? We're just washing our hands of it. Y'all do what y'all going to do. We're just going to turn our back to it. Then, yes, you can kind of sort of say, Phillip, you could have at least helped. You knew what she was going to do. But we don't know what it is.
We don't know. And that's why it's unfair to almost everybody involved, including this young person, for Gino to do what he did. Because all he's doing is creating this giant question mark for all of us.
Now
they're
going to be trying to get at the young lady
and her parents. What happened? What's going on? Why is it like that? Why did you say those words? You better feel comfortable and feel confident in what you're saying if you're going to come out and publicly do that.
But what you said is probably right. This is good for women's basketball.
That's a very cynical but honest way to look at it.
Good for women's basketball. Not good in the sense that something was going on with this young lady. Whatever. Yeah, that's not good. But that we're talking about women's basketball.
Yeah. In
and
November.
That is Gino and UT in November where nobody really is watching.
Right.
So now that it's on the forefront of everybody's mind, it's on splatted on the page of ESPN, one of the topics, the top topics.
Retro did an entire column about it yesterday in The Athletic.
It's sort of in a cynical way. Yeah, it is good.
Right. And I was going to ask, because I'm sort of cynical in these situations too. I think, again, this is pure conjecture, just like me being cynical here. I think Gino Auriemma thinks that this person can help him win today, and I think Phillip Fulmer in Tennessee hates UConn basketball.
Oh, of course,
those are true things.
Yeah,
and so is that all of it? Probably not. There probably is actually something going on. What I don't like though is that our default setting for people in power, like Tennessee and Connecticut in this situation, the only person that gets hurt in all of this is the young lady. That's the only person that gets hurt by any of this stuff. And in the meantime, again, the cynic in me says Tennessee probably could have gone and helped this person. They decided not to because it was Connecticut. And Connecticut wants her to play right away because it helps their team get better today. And, like, that's the cynical way to look at it. The real-life way is that maybe there was something going on with this individual in that environment. And until we know what that is, I cannot make a judgment call on who is to be blamed.
Exactly.
And so now we're sitting here left with this, like, grenade that Gino Auriemma has, like, rolled into this world and saying, oh, well, there's this and that and blah, 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 blah. And then he went back later in the press conference and he was alluding to it a little bit further, but like wasn't allowed to really go to the point where we actually understood what was wrong with this particular environment. And so I don't know. It's a tough thing. I think this happens in football all the time. It happens in basketball, men and women's. And at the end of the day, I think all of the ire gets directed at the schools and the coaches. The reason a player is not eligible is because of the NCAA's decision process.
Exactly.
The NCAA is the one that's going after the wrong person here. And the only person that gets punished in this is this young athlete who wants to play basketball. And who knows, fix whatever's going on in her life or whatever. And in the meantime, in Memphis, we have the exact same problem. The NCAA going after the wrong person. We'll get to that when we come back. Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.